started. And let me go to the Kindle. I know that I was probably in the course last, so I'll have to close the course and go to NTI. Here we go. All right, and we're ready for NTI, Hebrews chapter 11, which I have on page 412, and you guys have on 412 as well. Okay, here we go then. Faith is driven by desire and powered by belief. And belief is defined here in parentheses as what you accept as true. One may say he has faith, but if he does not accept as true, his faith has no meaning at all. So, this is a pretty important point. You know, like a lot of people will say, for example, you know, I have faith in God, but yet they're still trying to control everything themselves and they don't really turn anything over because they don't really have faith in God. What they have faith in is if it's going to happen, I got to make it happen. You know, so this is saying, if you really want to have faith, this is what this is saying. If it's in your heart and you really want to have faith in God, then you really have to accept God or the universe or something invisible beyond you to be true. And you have to turn things over to it and then let it be. You know, otherwise you don't really have faith. It's just lip service. And notice it says faith is driven by desire. What that really means is your desire to know God or your desire to know truth beyond this and beyond form. You know, it's that true desire to really see that there's something else here beyond what we see. That's what causes you to really surrender. If you don't really, really want to learn there's a God, you'll probably not ever really let go. You'll maintain control. You have to want it a lot because it, he's laughing.
Like how bad you want it.
Yeah, you have to want it a lot in order to not control, especially when things get fearful, right? To keep your hands off and say, I'm not touching this. I'm not controlling this. I'm just going to see what happens. You have to really want to know God. So the desire part is very important. So that's why it says faith is driven by desire. Because if you don't have the desire, then you're probably never going to let go of the control. So faith is driven by desire and powered by belief or what you accept is true. One may say he has faith, but if he does not accept as true, his faith has no meaning at all. The idea of faith may be placed with one thought, while the power of faith is given to another. It is time for you to look honestly at where you place your faith.
It may be that the definition of action is a little confusing at times, because what seems like inaction is really action-packed.
Yes.
And I've already... I'm caught up with what you're teaching right now. I'm deliberately staying in inaction.
In inaction.
Which is on some level massive action is taking place.
I agree.
As I rest.
So, yes, I agree.
But it's very, very powerful. I can one way I can say it is that wheels are turning far beyond what I can possibly
imagine.
Yes. And so knowing that keeps me from taking deliberate action and deliberately not taking action.
Yeah.
Because I know it's hard, that the scope is just too big. So wheels are turning and I'm right there, you know, just trying to stay with it. You know,
It's really talking to us. It's telling us that most of us say we have faith in God when what we really have faith in is ourselves. So the idea of faith is placed in one place while the power of faith is placed in another. And it's encouraging us to make that shift. Somewhere in A Course in Miracles, it says something like, why would you trust the wings of a sparrow if you knew that there were the wings of an eagle, you know, that was available to you? And this is really talking about that same kind of idea. So the idea of faith may be placed with one thought, while the power of faith is given to another. It is time for you to look honestly at where you place your faith. It is time for you to look honestly at where you place your faith. It is by faith that the universe was formed, and it is by faith that its seeming form is maintained today. This is the power of your faith, because you see exactly as you see, you can see also where it is that you have placed your faith. So this is a pretty important paragraph. This paragraph is saying the entire world that you see and the way you see it comes from your faith. And again, faith is desire powered by belief. And of course, we learned in NTI Romans that the first desire was the desire for something different. We could call it different than heaven, different than God, different than was, different than, you know, is. That would be the desire. And then the faith, the belief that it's here, that something different than God, different than heaven, different than truth is here, is what makes this whole world appear. So it's saying, look at the power of your faith. You know, what you put faith in, you experience directly. But what you haven't really looked at is what you're putting your faith in. You know, and this is what you need to look at. So again, it is by faith that the universe was formed, and it is by faith that its seeming form is maintained today. This is the power of your faith. Because you see exactly as you see, you can see also where it is that you place your faith. It is through faith that your perception of the world changes. This is the first step in letting go of dreams. For as you place your faith in that which is not seen, that which is seen changes to show you where you have put your faith. So again, form comes from where we put our faith. So if we change our faith in a very real way, form actually responds. It reflects that change, or at least the way we interpret it, at the very least, is going to change. In faith, your entire perception shall seem to change in answer to the faith you have given. In this way, the perception of death is also taken away. For as you no longer place your faith with sin and guilt, the wages of sin, as perception, is also taken away. So, of course, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? And so that's what this means when it says the wages of sin is taken away. So this doesn't mean that you won't see a body die. It just means that everything in you will know there was no death there. You know, people use the word transition, right? Everything in you will know that there was no death there. It was just a transition. It was just a change, which is what happens in form all the time. And this becomes very, very clear as we begin to focus more and more on the truth of what we are. You know, if I focus on this body as who I am, or I focus on this thinking mind or this personality as who I am, I'm going to continue to believe in death, because this body is going to end, this thinking mind is going to end, and this personality is going to end. But as I start to shift my attention to the awareness that comes before those three things and is still present while these three things are here and will continue after these three things pass away, as I begin to shift my attention here, what happens at some point by paying attention to the awareness instead of all of this, my identity, who I think I am, literally shifts to the awareness. And the awareness never dies. The isness never dies. The life never dies. This is what in the Bible Jesus really meant when he referred to being born again. It was that shift of identity from this, which dies, to this, which doesn't die. And when my identity shifts to that which doesn't die, what I also see is that everything is that too. You know, everything is that. So even though the body dies and even the personality dies, I know that life lives. I know that there's been no death. There's been a change in life, you know, from one form, you know, maybe to another form. But there is no death. So again, as our perception changes here, the way we view what we see out there also changes. We always see through the filter of our own mind. So whatever I think is true, whatever I'm attached to, whatever I think is right or wrong, I'm going to look out there and I'm going to see all of that. But as this gets cleaned off, like a window gets cleaned off, I look out there and I see in a pure way that really only brings joy, peace, understanding. The closest it comes to suffering is called compassion. And compassion is when you understand that someone else is suffering because they don't see. But it's not the same thing as real suffering because you do see. You know, you do know that everything's okay, but you understand this person doesn't know. And so you feel compassion, right? So again, starting with verse 4, it is through faith that your perception of the world changes. This is the first step in letting go of dreams. For as you place your faith in that which is not seen, that which is seen changes to show you where you have put your faith. In faith, your entire perception shall seem to change in answer to the faith you have given. In this way, the perception of death is also taken away. For as you no longer place your faith with sin and guilt, the wages of sin, as perception, is also taken away. By faith, you will let go of illusion, knowing by that time of the oneness that you are. In this final step of faith, the world shall be released, and your acceptance of truth will be revealed. So instead of, you know, body, chair, floor, God, in that there is no world, there's only God, right? It's an entirely different way of seeing, and it's a way of seeing that puts a big smile on your face. Verses 8 to 10. Now by faith you listen to my every word. I ask you also to practice it in faith. Practice without faith is dead, for it is your faith that brings all things to you within perception. Practice without faith is what people would call rituals, you know, right? You're just doing it because you were taught to do it. Yeah. So you know, two people may do the same thing. You know, let's just imagine that we're Hindus, and two people may go into a temple and, you know, put their hands together and bow down at Ganesh or something. One person may be going in and bowing down at Ganesh as, you know, this is what we're supposed to do, you know. Another person may be going in and bowing down to Ganesh while recognizing Ganesh as the remover of obstacles, recognizing I still have the obstacle of believing that I am this person, but I trust through my willingness that this obstacle will be removed. You see, something very different is going on there, right? One is having faith that even though, you know, awakening hasn't happened yet, I still think I'm a person. I trust that everything is being undone within me. I trust that I'm being given every experience I need to be given so undoing can happen. And I trust that this misperception that I'm a person is being undone. And I'm thinking of that as I'm bowing down to Ganesh because he's the remover of obstacles and he reminds me of my faith. That's all. He's a symbol of my faith, right? So, you know, it's all about, again, it's all about the faith. It's not the doing so much as the faith. And in fact, practice is actually just an outward representation of the inner faith. And with the inner faith, you know, before we turn on the recorder, Dan was talking about how if you miss your mornings with God sometimes, you know, don't think, oh no, you know, my day is going to be horrible. With inner faith, you actually believe, you know, you trust. If the day unfolded today so that I didn't have the time to meditate or contemplate or whatever, that must be perfect. Because if I needed to meditate or contemplate, the time would have been provided. You see, the faith is always there. The faith is in everything. The faith is in God, and God is everything. Right? Verses 11 to 12. Through faith, perception is rearranged to answer the call of your awakening. This is basically what I just said. If you really want to awaken to your true self, the universe will give you everything you need to help you awaken. So all of perception rearranges itself to come to you at the call of your desire to awaken, to answer and to help you awaken. Through faith, perception is rearranged to answer the call of your awakening. As you ask for guidance and give faith that it will be given, guidance is that which will come. It shall lead you step by step, not into form, but away from it. For as you see the power of your faith, you are led to accept that the truth has always been true. You shall see that you have been the leader of your own awakening through your Holy Spirit, which knows the true reflection that is everything. Again, everything already is God. You're just coming to see it, right? So in that way, there's no change at all. Everything already is God. But when this says that guidance will lead you step by step, not into form, but away from it, this is an important point. Because a lot of people expect guidance to improve their life in the way they think it needs to be improved, right? And actually, that's just leaving you to be attached and believing the world is what you already believe it is. You know, that doesn't do anything. And so true guidance doesn't lead in that way. True guidance leads in a way that undoes your beliefs. One way you can often tell true guidance is because it leads you maybe to do something that your personality would not have done. And you know that. It's like, that wasn't on my plan. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You end up out way outdoing yourself.
you do way out.
It's like steroids.
Yeah, because what's happening is the personality is being undone. It's not being reinforced. So again, guidance will lead you step by step, but if you're expecting it to lead you to meet your expectations, you're probably not even going to recognize guidance because it's not showing up to meet your expectations. It's showing up to lead you away from everything you think is true to truth, right? That's what it's leading. So it's going to undo you. It's going to undo your beliefs. It's going to undo your attachments. It's going to undo your personal desires. It's going to help you drop everything that is a part of your current identity so that you can realize your true identity. Verses 13 to 16. Your desire for the world will keep you in it because of what you were created to be. But as you recognize that the world is not your home and you begin to long for, desire, and place faith in the home that you know must be, you release your hand on illusion and reach out for the truth of what you are. This is basically saying no one can be awakened against their will. You know, if you really love this world as it is and you really want to be here and you're, you know, completely involved in it, awakening won't happen for you now, but that's love. You know, it can't go against your will. In fact, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said something, I can't remember the words. If any of y'all know the Beatitudes well, let me know. But it was something like, blessed are those who have tired of this world, or something similar to that, you know. Because again, who mourn this world, maybe it's something like that. Blessed are those who mourn, something like that. Because as you get tired of this world, as you see there's no joy in this world for you anymore, then you start being willing to let go of the world. Right? And so there has to come a point where You know, for many people, like, it's like they've chased every single desire, and they got every single thing they wanted, and then when they got there, they realized they just wanted something else. And at some point, they come to realize, you know, there's temporary happiness, sure, when you get what you want, but it doesn't last long, and then you just want something else. So in that way, there's no joy in this world. There's no lasting satisfaction in this world. The lasting satisfaction has to come from something else. And that's when they start to not desire in the world so much, because they've learned it didn't satisfy them. And then they start desiring for God instead, or desiring for truth, or whatever way they word that.
That's the high road. The other side of that is intense suffering.
Yes.
So that's the low road. The yeah. high road is the success burnout.
Success burnout, yes.
But it's probably better to get here with success burnout.
That was my path, success burnout instead of suffering. Yeah, I think it is the gentler path. You said the other one is when you hit bottom and you suffer, you know. Some people just really suffer. They have no money, they're alcoholics, nobody loves them, you know? And like, that wasn't my path. I was actually fairly successful, but then I got like up on top of my own little mountain, and it was like, now what? You know, I mean, here I am, I have everything I want, I've done everything I wanted to do. And
yeah.
So yeah, that's probably the easier way.
George Harrison was, you know, one of the Beatles, probably the most, you know, successful. And he's also known for his devotional aspect of his personality, and so that's an example of someone like you
could, yes.
had, you know, who had it all and found some emptiness.
Found some emptiness. Yeah, John Lennon has a great song called "Watching the Wheels Go Round and Round." You know, it's what's in the song, and it's about after he kind of, you know, the Beatles broke up, and he kind of dropped out. He was still writing songs and things, but he was no longer trying to be famous. You know, and. All of his friends were like, man, you used to be one of the Beatles, man. You should be doing something. You should be getting out there and making a name for yourself. And he's like, you know, I just want to watch life. I just want to watch the wheels go on and round and round. I just want to watch my son grow up. I just want to, you know, look at the sky. I just want to, you know, he's given up on success because he learned that success wasn't it. And now he was learning that he just wanted to be in the moment, you know, and be with whatever was right in front of him. So yeah, those Beatles are, some of them are very wise.
There's also a lot of other famous musicians that are examples of the low road, and they're writing book biographies and so forth, and talking about unimaginable suffering.
Well, yes, you have the opposite, like the Elvis Presleys and the Marilyn Monroes, who also get up there and find out it's not what they expected, but then instead of awakening through it, they, you know, commit suicide or drink themselves to death, or
a lot of them are bouncing back with what's going on. They're just, you know, doing the right thing, and they're actually got some time together enough to write a coherent autobiography. And,
yeah,
and they're I've been kind of, you know, getting into some of that stuff too. So it's interesting. In fact, now it's almost cliche, but there's guys that who went through the real train wreck nightmare, you know, horror story thing.
Yes.
And then bounce back, and now they're like 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years down the road, and they're happy, healthy, normal, and but on the spiritual path.
Yes, yes. Getting wiser through experience. So yes, as verses 13 to 16 say, your desire for the world will keep you in it because of what you were created to be, which means free. But as you recognize that the world is not your home, and you begin to long for, desire, and place faith in the home that you know must be, you release your hand on illusion and reach out for the truth of what you are. By faith in what is beyond perception, let go of the dreams that are perceived. Do not ask in your heart for rewards given in perception. Ask only that you may be led away from dreams. And perception shall answer in a way that is helpful, so that you may welcome and realize an increase in faith. One thing I love about this is actually kind of making a little promise here. It's saying if you will have true faith, faith in what is not seen, it's going to show up for you, and that's going to increase your faith. Right? So it's saying, you know, you do your part, The universe will do its part, and then you'll be willing to do even more of your part. You know, so that, you know, you're not out here doing this by yourself. The universe is going to greet you. Verse 20. By faith, you bless experience. By faith, experience blesses you. By faith, your willingness to let go is increased. By faith, you let go of the limits of the world. By faith, you let go of the world even as you seem to live in the world, so that your desire for the world can die. In this way, you live in dreams even as you let go of dreams, and you prepare your mind to fully awaken. So, of course, that reminds me of the famous line, to be in the world but not of the world. Right? Yeah. It is your faith that leads you forward, because it is your faith that makes that which you see. By faith, the world's rules no longer apply, because through faith you have released your belief, which had been given to them. By faith, you stand within the world and see that the world is not true. By faith, you bring all that is brought to you. And so by faith, you may learn that none of it is true. As you learn this lesson, you shall giggle in acceptance and release it all in joy. For in the remembrance of truth, you shall no longer desire distraction that hides the truth of what you are. The mind is one. The desire of the heart is only one. The Spirit of God is one. And this is your holy truth. Accept in willingness all that you do know, and by faith, that which has never been true shall fully and joyously be let go. So, it's really, you know, it's asking us again, it started off asking us to look honestly where we put our faith, you know, be honest with yourself. Are you putting your faith in God, universe, whatever you want to call it? Or are you still thinking, you know, I got to control everything and make everything happen? Look honestly. And then after you look honestly, if your faith is in yourself, are you willing to start taking some steps to trust God instead of yourself, right? And it's saying, you know, if you do that, once you do that, everything's going to begin to change. Because the way you see and experience now comes from the way you are now. And as you begin to change how you put your faith, everything is going to change. So that's the beginning of everything, by being willing to have faith in, again, whatever you call it, God, truth, universe, it doesn't matter because it's all the same thing. Different labels, right? Same thing. But that which is beyond you, that which is whole, that which, you know, it can make anything happen. Somebody sent me a video the other day where, in the video, every time one person needs something, another person shows up with it to give it to them. And you just watch it one after the other after the other. And I thought, you know, if everybody just had faith and listened to inner guidance, you know, felt their intuition and trusted, that's what would happen. As soon as a lack almost appeared, somebody else would show up to fill the lack, right? So in that way, there's no lack, because we'd all be so intricately connected. Do you want to say something? Oh, I thought you did.
Yeah. I thought of that a little while ago, because I remember when I first started hearing the universe will provide for you, and I just couldn't grasp what that meant and that concept. But the more I moved to understand that, you know, I can almost see it, like you were saying, you know,
yeah,
you know that this was missing or didn't happen, and then here comes the person that is going to bring you that exact thing, and all you have to do is really be aware and present to see it, because lots of times they come and we didn't even
right
realize it, and so we just have to be aware and be in the now to start recognizing all those gifts that the universe does provide for us when we, whatever it is that we need. And I'm always so grateful that everything is evolving and happening the way it's supposed to happen, and for each one of us to awaken and just to realize that, you know, with gratitude makes you see it all the clearer.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I've also had the experience now for a while of people telling me what to do. And what I mean by that is something that I really need to do, but it wasn't on my mind to do it. And then somebody else will send me an email and say, hey, you know, are you going to give us directions to such and... That's right, I need to give everybody directions. And I'll write the email and send it out. And I always have the experience of people telling me what to do. So I don't have to carry around in my head all the time what to do. Somebody will show up to remind me at just the right time, and it gets done. Now, that probably always happened, but before, I had a different perception, the I am bad thought. And when I had the I am bad thought, if you came and told me, hey, you know, are you going to give us directions? I'd think, oh no, you know, she's mad at me. I should have thought of this myself. You know what I mean? I interpreted the whole thing wrong. And now when you come up and you say, are you going to give us directions? I'm like, there's God telling me it's time to do that. You know, so it's the same thing, totally different perception. In fact, your grandson is the one that told me when lunch was over, when we were in... I was out there sitting in a rocking chair. I had no idea. And he comes up to me and says, don't you think we should get back? I'm like, thank you, God. I think we should. That's what I said to him. Thank you, God. So, you know, it happens all the time, people telling me what to do. But it's because that's how the universe is telling me what to do. You know, it's wonderful. Everybody shows up.
But you're open to it.
Well, I see it differently now because I don't have the I am bad thought. I mean, again, before I would have thought I'm supposed to be doing this myself, remembering everything myself. And if I forgot and somebody has to remind me, it means I'm bad. And now they know it too because they had to tell me, right? That's how I, you know, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's great when people show up and tell you what to do.
I was telling my husband, I don't remember what it was we were talking about, but this kind of reminded me of, is that every person you meet, everybody, whether it's just for 10 seconds or whatever, has either brought you something or you gave them something. And for us to be aware and to be looking, you know, okay, what am I going to give this person or what is this person bringing me, adds so much excitement to living, I think. You know,
yeah.
Because if we're open to see that and open in the moment, that we are always giving and receiving what is needed for us to continue. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we always give an assignment at the end, just something to keep our mind kind of remembering during the week. And so I would say maybe this week is just simply notice where I'm putting my faith. And if I notice that I'm trusting myself when I can feel intuitively I should really be trusting God, am I willing to shift that? You know? That sounds like a good assignment. So what I will do is turn off the recorder, and then after I turn off the recorder, we always just sit in silence for a little bit, and then we see whatever anybody wants to talk about.